Praise the Lord, church. I know some of you are looking at me like, wait a minute, you're not Vicky. No, and she'll be up here quickly. But I did just want to share something just briefly with you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Now, I know we do this sometimes, and sometimes everyone participates. Sometimes it's kind of the obvious question, but in full participation here tonight, how many want to see a greater revival? How many want to see a greater harvest? In their family? Strangers? People you don't know? And I just want to share this with you, and I know Pastor has mentioned this quite a bit, especially with the recent messages that he's spoken, that God has used him to get to us. Are we ready? And I guess at a more personal level that you can ask yourself, am I ready? Am I ready to play my part? Am I ready to join in? Am I ready to help? Because I'm just going to share this real quickly, is I know what it's like to when there's a moment at the end of a service or during a service when the Lord is moving, the Spirit of God is moving, and we can look at certain people and say, well, that's expected that they'll do what they're doing because God uses them in certain ways. We get that, and I know a lot of you can nod your heads, especially if it's happened to you early on, but God wants to use every one of us. Every one of us. You might not be in front of somebody praying with them, but nevertheless, this is not just the altar right here. This altar spreads. It's as far as where the people are. It's the sacrifice. And I remember early on, after I got the Holy Ghost, after I was baptized, I'd find myself in the front quite a bit. And I would just be up here, and I'm like, why am I up here? I already got the Holy Ghost. Nobody's really praying with me. Just kind of, do-do-do-do-do, I guess I'll worship again. And I remember a very special person, dear to me, pulled me aside. One of my spiritual mentors, and actually called me into his office and helped me, helped develop that. Many of you know Brother Thomas. Many of you know how God uses him. And he just started saying, hey, you know, just simple stuff. You ever thought about praying with people? You ever thought about this? You ever thought about that? And it's just one more step of how God can use us. Because in actuality, this is a place that we can feel comfortable to do things together in unity. We can do things outside of this building as well. Amen? And so I picked up stuff from him. I've picked up stuff from Sister Vicky. I've picked up stuff from many other people. I've picked up stuff from many of you. So as she comes and she shares what it is that God's put on her heart, receive that. Receive that. Because I guess the way I look at it is, if God's anointed him, and God's anointed her, and God's anointed him, well, God can anoint me too. I want to be used too, amen? I don't want to be out of position or not fill a place that where it's not my will, but I'm not either going to rule it out either. I'm not going to say, well, all I do is this, so that's not me. Or I'm in this ministry, so this doesn't affect me. But like Pastor said, this is like an all-hands-on-deck type of thing. And I guess the reality is are we ready? Are we going to be ready? When somebody's next to you on the right or the left, and instead of waiting for somebody to come up and pray with them, like, hey, this is, I want to pray with them. Talk to them. Something. Okay? So just receive something, and let's do this together. This is another form of unity. Let's unify together in this. Amen? Let's do this. A 20,000 soul revival. Let's look at it. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. 500 soul revival. I see it, Lord. I see it. I see it. You know? And just start. This house will be full. Amen? I am very excited for who we have here tonight. And I'm not going to take up any more time because this is why we brought her here. Amen? Sister Vicky.
It's always good to be home. No place like home. And you are my family, my church family. I know I'm not here very often, but I promise you I am out being busy for God. I'm not sitting at home eating popcorn. I am somewhere every weekend. But very often I'm thinking about you and praying for you. And my heart is here, but I'm called to the harvest. Harvest here, harvest there. God's bringing in the harvest quickly. It's almost over. Jesus is coming. One of the main things that we need to do to go to this next dimension in the spirit is to take on a sense of urgency. Every one of us, urgent about the coming of the Lord. He really is coming soon. What if this were the very last service we had together? How would we behave? What would we do? How would we pray? How would we worship? I'm afraid things would be a lot different if we thought Jesus was coming at midnight tonight. And so that urgency can sort of be contagious. And tonight I just want to present to you a altar training that the Lord gave me many years ago. And I am very well aware, because I travel, I've already been in 20 churches this year, and I usually am in 45 to 50 churches every year. So I see a lot of things. And I am very well aware that this church has an awesome altar team. This is not about people not knowing what they're doing or people not receiving the Holy Ghost. This church always has a harvest. There are always people receiving the Holy Ghost. So this is not about that. Brother Thomas is here tonight. He could teach this rings around me tonight. Some of you could teach this, but I was asked to. And most every weekend of my life, I'm somewhere and they squeeze in this altar working seminar. And very often lately, it's for the whole church. So I think we're in the vein of the Spirit, that dimension that God is working in. That's what we want to be, in that dimension that He's working in. And so I have asked the ushers to hand you a little handout. It's just a front and back. Don't let it scare you. It's not going to take as long as it might look. I am conscious that it's a Wednesday night. Pastor Roy, thank you for inviting me to do this. This is my favorite thing to do outside of just being there when someone's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's my favorite thing. And my second favorite thing is to talk about it and to teach it. And so this is good tonight that we can be together. And iron sharpeneth iron. And so we're going to try to sharpen ourselves a little bit tonight. While they're passing out the handout, I want to remind you that very often funny things happen in the altar. If you are someone that works up here on the front lines in the altar, you've had funny things happen. I had a little boy stop me one night. I was praying with him. He was weeping and crying. He had stammering lips. The Holy Ghost was moving in, and he stopped suddenly and said, "If you will write those words down, I'll practice them tonight and say them tomorrow night for you." He was listening to me talk in tongues, and he was very frustrated without the lack of understanding. He wanted me to write them down. Anything can and will happen in the altar. I had a woman just recently, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we know, church, that that's a gift, and it's for everyone. And she received that without really having full understanding. You don't have to have a Bible study to receive it. You don't have to know all about it. And when the Holy Ghost moved in, she spoke beautifully in another language. And the power of the Lord all over her. She spoke for several minutes. Then she stopped suddenly and looked at me and said, "Well, are you going to interpret it or not?" You can imagine my surprise. We had to have a little Bible study right there in the altar. And she was quick to receive, because the Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. So she was quick to receive the word of the Lord. And so anything can and will happen in the altar. In this new dimension of altar working for the church, I want to remind you that signs, miracles, and wonders are happening. It's not only the most wonderful miracle of all, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that is being poured out. It is also that we are seeing more miracles than ever before. And I can attest to this from traveling for 26 years. I am all of a sudden seeing God do the miraculous. And it happens in the altar. Many times when people come to pray for the Holy Ghost. So keep that in mind. You're going to be a part of all of that that God is doing. You can be an altar worker. I'm so glad you came tonight. Even those of you that thought, I'm not really an altar worker. And maybe you were even tempted to take the night off tonight, but you came anyway. And I'm so thankful for that. Because I think you'll find before we're finished tonight, the Holy Ghost is going to move in here and talk to each one of us about our place in the altar. So open your heart and receive what Jesus has for you tonight, okay? The altar is like a battlefield. I am a harvester. I am called to the battlefield. I'm called to work with people in the altar. You say, well, that is not my calling. It doesn't have to be your calling for you to love souls. If we believe what we say we do, that Jesus is coming, there's going to be a rapture of the church. And in order to go up, because none of us can fly, we need the supernatural. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was promised to every living human being. The Spirit leads us, guides us, protects us, helps us, teaches us, but it also is going to take us up when He comes. And it is essential to salvation. And so to say, I'm not involved in altar working is to say, I'm not involved in worrying about the souls of people. Maybe you just don't know what to do or where to go because you're not comfortable talking to people. And not everyone is comfortable coming to the front and talking to people. So just hang on and we're going to go over all of that tonight. The altar is like a battlefield. We are fighting a war for every soul. The Lord gave me a vision in prayer some 20 years ago. I was praying for the harvest, for the lost. And I saw in that vision, there were angels and there were demons with their swords drawn over top of the heads of those that were seeking. We can't see that in the natural, but there's a lot going on that we can't see. We don't live in that realm, so we don't talk about it all the time. And it's not something that we could even stand to live in and see. But God wants us to be aware that a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. And they're not sitting around frying hamburgers waiting on hell. They're busy. And they're not worried about the people they already have. It's the people with the truth. It's our churches, the body of Christ, those who are having things happen in the supernatural, people that are being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is where they show up. They have their swords drawn. There is a war going on in the heavenlies every time we come together. And certainly when we come in this building and we stand to our feet and begin to worship, right then is when the altar service begins. Oh, no, the altar service begins when the music plays and when they say, would you come to the front? No. That's not when the devils and the angels are battling. They're battling immediately. They know something is getting ready to happen and there is a war going on. That's why we have prayer before church. And so we come together knowing that that war is going on. The battlefield begins when that person walks in the door. That's why we strive for excellence. From the door to the altar and back out to their car, there should be excellence from beginning to end. There should not be a moment where they feel uncomfortable, unwelcome, uneasy. And that is our job as the church. It's not about us anymore. It's about reaching out to those who are coming in. And it should begin immediately that we forget about ourselves. It begins when they walk in the door. We can make a difference if we know what to do. And so we're going to go in here to immediately to the three types of altar workers. This is the most important part of this session tonight. In that time of prayer, the Lord also showed me that we are in such a battle that it can be compared to a battle in the scripture. King David was a great warrior. And we can pattern some things that go on in the altar after one of his major battles. Other warriors in the word. You see, the first thing they did was they hired worshipers. And they sent them out ahead of those who were in battle. It is really a strange thing when you think about it. Here is the opposing army over the hillside, preparing with their arms, ready to win this battle. And here is David sending out a group of people. It's in scripture. You can look it up later. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. We're not going to take time to go there. But he hires them. He sends them out. He calls them by name. I want this tribe and this one. And you take your men and go out and begin to sing. Play the tambourine, the timbrel, play the cymbals, go out and declare the name of the Lord. So they're not even beginning the battle yet, but all of a sudden that opposing army hears this great number of people coming over the hillside singing, the whole army will be annihilated in the name of the Lord. We shall win. You shall be defeated in the name of the Lord. And glorifying God. Many times they hightailed it and ran. We want the demons to hightail it and run out of here every time we come together, understanding that they're not welcome. In this dimension, in the spirit, we learn to battle. And so the worshipers go before. The first type of altar worker is a worshiper. How many of you can be a worshiper? Oh, well, you're an altar worker then. You go before the battle. Before the call is ever given to come to the front, you're already battling in your seat. Because when we worship Jesus, he comes in. The Bible says, to inhabit our praise. And so as we begin to worship, and I mean worship, sometimes because we are a large group, you cannot, maybe not be noticed, and so you can do your thing. You can talk to your neighbor. You can run in and out. You can look in your Bible and your purse, and you can, I'm saying not engaged, not being engaged. We have to work on being engaged when we come in here. It's a distracting world. Now we got the cell phone thing to battle. The addiction. We just can't keep our hands off of it. We might get a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. So we're slipping it out every little bit, and because we've got to make an effort to remember why we're here. It's about souls. All of those other things can wait. They can wait because we're in a battle. If you're fighting in a battle, you're not going to be distracted. You can't be distracted or there'll be casualties. And so the worship begins. And we are altar workers as we play instruments, as we sing, as we lift our hands, as we begin to worship. We are already working the altar in the seat. The first type of altar worker is a worshiper. They go out before the battle. And so every song that's sung, often people that play instruments feel tied to them and they feel like, I just wish I could get off of this instrument and come down and pray with people. Well, let me assure you, you are a big part of the altar working. You are being a worshiper. Everyone is a worshiper. That's why when the call is given to come to the front, people should not get up and pick up their Bibles and their purses and go out and have a pizza while people are up here. The whole church should be involved. Well, Sister Oliver, if we all came to the front, there wouldn't be room. No, you don't all have to come to the front. Worship from your seats. But stay around unless there's an emergency thing or you have to go. I get that. But if you can stay, engage. Stay around. Care about the fact that there are people up here praying. And continue to worship in your seats. Sing. Clap your hands. Talk in tongues. Worship in your seat. When the altar call is given, there should be worshipers that come around the altar. because the battle's being fought. Those worshipers should come in quickly behind the seekers. You notice I said behind. Behind the seekers. Worshipers do not get out in the front of people. You don't worship in people's faces. You stay behind them. If you can't stop talking in tongues because that's just what you do, then you should not be on the front line. You should be behind them, talking in tongues and worshiping and praising and singing. Very often that is missing in the altar. The only worship's going on is up here. And everybody else leaves, and then we have altar going on. And it feels like to that seeker, oh, it's really over. I hear people talking and people out in the vestibule, people are leaving, and it feels like it's really over. I hope these people don't mind if I stay and pray a minute. That's how it feels to a seeker. If we could just hang out a little while they're praying and stay engaged. Because you never know while you're worshiping when the Lord may move you to another type of altar worker. The three types of altar workers are interchangeable. Just because you start out a worshiper or that's where you are comfortable, that's not where you have to stay. So you are worshiping, that's where your comfort level is. You're back in your seat and all of a sudden the Lord begins to deal with you. You see so-and-so up there? I want you to give them a word. Or I want you to go and pray with them. And very often when that happens to me, I come and I wait. And if there are people around, I don't just go barging in there because someone's already working with them. But you know what? If the Lord tells me to do something, He makes a hole for you to get in. So you just hang out and keep worshiping and say, God, if you want me to do what you asked me to do, then make a way, Lord. And the next thing you know, somebody move on and there it is. And that takes us to that second type of altar worker, the frontliner. In any battle, there is a front line. People who battle on the front lines, who have the arms, they bear the arms. They are the ones doing the fighting on the front lines. They have some kind of weapon. We have to be trained. Our weapon is not carnal. It's the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapon is in prayer. Our weapon is being ready and knowing how to work that front line. And so as you come to the front lines of battle, how do you prepare yourself in the seat? Well, very often, if you're a frontliner, your passion is souls. Your passion is that front line. You want to pray with people. There are people that want to do that but don't know how. And God will train you. He will help you if you just be faithful. You're faithful over a few things, He makes you ruler over many. He'll help you if that's your desire. When I started out as a frontliner, the first altar training I had came from my pastor's wife. I was a young girl of about 15, 16. My passion was souls in the altar, and I was praying with someone in the altar, and I was holding their arms up and rocking them. We did that back in the day. We gave back massages. We held arms up. We rocked people. We felt like people had to somehow earn the Holy Ghost. We taught people. They were taught they had to travail. That's not even in Scripture. They travailed on the day of Pentecost. They waited and it came. But after that, you never had to travail again. It was given that day. It's a gift. And we ought to treat it as a gift. But we didn't have altar training. We didn't know any better. And if you know better and you don't do it, then that's really bad. I didn't know any better. And I had prayed until my voice was gone. Every Sunday night, I didn't have a voice. I prayed till my voice was gone. My eyes were puffy. My nose was snotty. My arms were aching. I had prayed and prayed, and the girl got up, and she was defeated once again. Months. People pray for the Holy Ghost sometimes for months, years. And she got up and left, and we didn't say anything. The Lord took care of it all. And my pastor's wife had been watching from the organ, and she walked down while I was blowing my nose. She said, "Don't you know you can't give them the Holy Ghost?" Hurt my feelings. That's all she said. And of course, I packed my suitcase and we changed churches because we didn't want to go to a church where people talked to us like that. No, I did not. It's Wednesday night. I'm trying to keep you awake. I did not. I fell on my face by my bed. And I said, Lord, what did she mean? I want to do this right. I want you to teach me how to do it right. I want to help people. People shouldn't walk away without the Holy Ghost. And the Lord began to train me on that front line of battle. When you're carrying that weapon, you cannot be emotional. We don't need to be touching people. This has been said over this pulpit over and over. But there are sometimes people will come to pastor and say, you know, I don't like it. Somebody, you know, came down there and they pushed real hard on my head. Why do we do those things? They got right in my face. Somebody, you know, I have anxiety problems or I'm nervous and I don't like people touching me and they were touching me. We are in a no-touch world. We are in a don't touch me world. People have so many hang-ups and fears and anxiety. Really, when you are praying with someone on the front line of battle, your weapon is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And yes, your weapon can be a touch, a laying on of hands. That's in Scripture. But please, when you're praying with somebody, ask them, may I pray with you? May I touch you on the head? Say, really, Sister Oliver? Yeah, that's how far it's progressed. Excellence. We don't want people to walk out of here saying, those people made me a nervous wreck. You can't give them the Holy Ghost, neither can I. No man comes unless he draws them. He's already got their day on the calendar. He wants to fill them with the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. It's a promise. But the front line of battle has no place for ego.
Well, I prayed through 92. You know, I did it. Me. I was there. No, you didn't do a thing. Jesus gave the Holy Ghost. You just happened to be there. What a blessing that you got to be there.
So let's not have casualties on the front lines where a weapon is misused and someone dies spiritually or won't come back because we were not careful. We're going to go through some things about a frontliner in just a little while. But I want to just qualify the frontliner is the one that deals with the seeker individually. And then the third type of altar worker is the intercessor. Well, I'm not an intercessor, Sister Oliver. I'm not called. I'm not called to intercession. Let me give you a clue on that one. Everybody is supposed to be doing intercessory prayer. To be an intercessor means to stand in the gap, the mediator. In a battlefield, there is the worshiper, the front line of battle, the warrior. And then there are those who would come to King David and say, I will do anything to help you win this. I have money. I have weapons. I will go on the front line myself, but I want the battle won. I am desperate to help. Just tell me anything you want me to do. That's the spirit of intercession. An intercessory prayer person will know when they need to kneel by that seat, fall on their face, and begin to intercede. Intercession often begins in English, when you are talking in your language and you are calling out their name, or maybe you don't know them but you feel a burden for them, or you're praying for everyone in this altar, but you know that is your calling to stand in the gap. Jesus was our example. He was the mediator. We have to have intercession. We have to have people who will then go from their language into tongues. The Bible talks about praying so deeply that you are groaning and not real utterances are even coming out of your mouth. I do not think that we should ever be out of order with someone hollering out loud in tongues when nobody else is. When that happens, the visitor is not looking at Jesus. They're not listening to the words of the anointed musician. They're looking around to see who is that and why are they doing that? They don't know what we know. We need intercession. But if intercession comes upon you, that burden is laying on your shoulders and you need to intercede. And if you're not the type that can intercede quietly, go out and find a place. I know churches that have a back room for intercessory prayer, that they even appoint an intercessory prayer team that will pray during the entire service for the lost. While the service is going on, they're interceding for the pastor, for the ministry. They're interceding for the lost during the service. But that should not go on in here. And it shouldn't go on the front lines of battle. People hollering in tongues and the seeker stopping to look around and confused. It ought to be decent and in order. Are we doing okay? Frontliners are non-emotional. It's the hardest thing in the world for me because I'm emotional. When I see people seeking for the Holy Ghost, I just get so excited and I just immediately want to talk in tongues and in their face and the Holy Ghost just comes on me. I have to use self-control. I have to realize I've got a weapon in my hand. Don't talk in tongues in their face. Get behind them. If you're worshiping in tongues, stand behind them. If you're interceding in tongues, get down on your face in the seat. My little mama could not testify. If they asked her, she stammered all over the place. But my mama knew her place in the body. She was an intercessor. When the altar call was given, right up until she was 80 years old and finally had Alzheimer's and could no longer pray, she would slip down between the seats. She's so tiny you couldn't even see her in there. And she would go into intercession. Because she knew babies are not born without travail. No mama ever walked into a delivery room smiling and said, I'm ready to push now. Oh, no, 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 no. There's a lot of laboring that goes on. A lot of travail. There are things that are embarrassing that she says and does. Because she is in the throes of a battle. And that's how it is when we are praying for the lost. There has to be travail. I was in a church one time and no one received the Holy Ghost. And I am called to the harvest. So I was searching myself in my room. I was lying on the floor in my hotel room and I was weeping. And I said, God, you know, is there something that's wrong in me? Something I'm not doing right? Show me, Lord. Why are these people seeking and seeking? We've had two nights of revival and nobody has received the Holy Ghost. They just get so close, but they're not receiving it. I'd never experienced it. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, this church has no intercession. Babies are not born without travail. I went back the next night and gave that piece of information Jesus had given me to the church. People began to fall on their faces in the seats. The Holy Ghost began to fall. That altar was filled that night. Every one of those people that had been seeking were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. The Lord always proves His word. You can be an intercessor. And you can be back there on your face interceding. Instead of going home and getting a sandwich, you can stay around a little while and stand in the gap for someone who's seeking. And while you're on your face, the Lord can say, come to the front. Pray with this one. Come to the front now. You're prepared. Give them that word. The Lord will move you in and out of these three types of altar workers. We should never be emotional on the front lines. You have the weapon in your hand, remember. Don't come on the front lines if you don't have faith. If you don't believe God's going to fill them, do not come to the front lines. God, talking about dimensions, God only operates in the dimension of faith. He does not operate in fear. He does not operate in unbelief. If you have decided that you are the Pentecostal policeman of Calvary Gospel, that is not faith. What does that mean, Sister Oliver? Every church has them. The Pentecostal policemen come. They work the front lines. And they are skeptics. They lean down. They make faces. They ask questions with a look on their face. Are you sure? Did you talk in tongues? Did you hear yourself? You did? I'm talking after it's all over. There are Pentecostal police. Some churches have one. Some have 5 or 10. It's really embarrassing because I don't find them in the Bible. And what that means is you're not operating in faith. So if you do that, stop it. Thank you. I got one. Because people receive the Holy Ghost all different ways, and they receive it according to their personality. And if they're quiet, they may receive it quietly. But you and I ought to have enough Holy Ghost that our spirit bears witness. Number one, that we know they're being filled. Number two, we see it on their countenance. And number three, we know how to handle ourselves to find out how they did with a smile on our face. To leave them, let them leave feeling good about whatever happened. Okay, so this is very important to know we're on the faith, in the faith realm. Frontliners don't want casualties on that front lines of battle. Don't talk in tongues. Don't touch people without asking. You can work on the front lines of battle. Anyone that desires it, that is willing. It's not a school you have to go to. It's not a college degree, and it's not you have to get more super spiritual. Oh, no, it's not I have to qualify. All you have to have is desire. Desire. I want to pray with people to receive the Holy Ghost. I want to work on the front line. God will prepare you. He'll teach you and train you. You can do it. But it's very important that we are prepared. Always come ready to minister in the altar. This is the first do. Do always come ready to minister. That means come and pray. If you get off from work so late you cannot get here early, pray in the car. Turn the radio off. Pray during the day. Keep yourself prepared, ready to minister. And may I qualify that that is not just when you're coming to church, because the altar might be across the lunch table. The altar might be in the Walmart parking lot. I'm seeing more and more people receive the Holy Ghost in the hotel. I prayed three through this year in the hotel that I'm staying in. I baptized one woman in the bathtub. Jesus is coming. I can't just wait. I can't. I feel that urgency. What if he came while I was trying to arrange everything? There has to be an urgency that comes over us where we realize the altar's not just here. I may have to be my own worshiper, my own intercessor, and my frontliner in the Walmart parking lot. Jesus is filling people with the Holy Ghost everywhere. They don't have to be here to receive it. So stay ready to minister all the time in the altar. But let me tell you what will happen. You have a bad day. You might have a bad week. And you come and sit down. Maybe you only prayed for 2 minutes before church started because you're running late. You're flustered. You got a lot of stuff going on in your own world. And the devil says you've got so many problems you can never help anybody else. The devil says, look what kind of week you had. Look what you've been watching. Look how you acted. And you're pretty much worthless. You can't do anything. Just sit there. You need to be fed. You need to hear the word. You need to repent yourself because you're just a mess. You know what to do with that? Because that is not God. God does not operate in guilt. And when that voice comes to you, you lift your hands right then and you say, Jesus, I'm so sorry I've had a rotten week. And I'm going to do better. Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to turn away from this stuff. I know that I have to do better. And I confess it. Own up to it. Just own it right there. Sometimes we have to say what it is. We got this part down pat. You know, my mom taught me this when I was a little kid. Just ask the Lord every night for you to go to bed. Lord, if I've done anything this day, please forgive me. So I learned to just ask that. If I've done anything this day, please forgive me. Sometimes things would pop in my mind. When you start up that if road with the Lord and the stuff pops in your mind, own it. I'm sorry I lost my temper. I'm sorry I talked ugly. I'm sorry I watched that. I'm sorry. Own up to it right then. I mean, I'm talking about song services going on. And the devil is working you over. That's the time to get your heart ready to work the front line, to be an altar worker, to start worshiping. Get that stuff prayed out and just, you'll find the light will shine and God will say, everything's all right now between you and me. And God will use you. He will. Approach the person in the altar, frontliner, with a smile and a mince. The mince not for them. 22 years ago in the state of Tennessee, over 100 little bus kids, a little boy stopped while he was speaking in tongues and said, could you step back, lady? Your breath is really bad. So I carry those dreaded Altoids, strongest thing I can find. And you know what? You really don't have to get in people's face. They hear with their ears. They don't hear with their nose. So when you go to pray for them, let them know you're there by coming in front of them. Don't say something in their ear and they're, you know, this number. Come around and identify yourself. Number three, talk to that person before you pray with them. Oh, but Sister Oliver, they were weeping and crying and their hands were shaking and they were all ready for the Holy Ghost. You don't know why they're weeping and crying and shaking. They may not even know what repentance is. He won't move in a dirty heart. Some people cry and it's not godly sorrow. It's self-sorrow. Not everybody that cries in an altar is repenting. A lot of people are just feeling sorry for themselves. You can't gauge the way a person looks as to whether they're ready to receive. So you approach them. If their eyes are closed, you come around to the front of them and say in their ear, excuse me, would you stop just a moment, please? And they stop and you have a smile on your face. You don't look like you're about ready to execute them. We make this so serious. People are afraid of us. Put a smile on your face. You've just stopped them from praying. Put a smile on your face. Hi, my name's Vicki.
Not I am the evangelist and the preacher of the world. I'm the Sunday school teacher here. I'm the usher.
I'm telling you that because I've heard too many horror stories. Not here. Hi, I'm Vicki. What's your name? My name's John. I'm so glad you're here tonight, and I'm so glad you came to pray. I was just wondering, is there anything that I could help you pray about? And you might find out that he has a disease, that his child is sick. You might find out that his marriage is broken. You might find out all kinds of things. And you might have assumed that he wanted the Holy Ghost. He doesn't even know what it is. So, yes, you've asked him. So now what do? I'll pray with you about that right now. And you let him hear you pray sincerely for his situation, his family. You might draw someone else in that's around to help, especially if I'm praying for John. I will grab a gentleman in our church that's nearby and ask him to come over and help. And vice versa with women. He hears me praying, and then when I'm done, I ask him, are you interested in praying for God to move in your heart? Oh, I don't know what that is. Well, let me explain. And you talk to John like you would talk to a child, explaining. I don't mean talk down to him, but I mean don't use our Pentecostal lingo.
Well, Jesus is going to move in your heart and you're going to talk in tongues. I had a little boy stop me one night. I said that. He said, I don't want to have a whole lot of tongues. I just want the one I've got. I told you I've learned everything the hard way. So I said, you're going to speak words, funny words you've never said before. Oh, I understand that. Or to an adult, you're going to speak words in another language. But they don't know what it means when we say tongues. Lots of people don't know. And then as you're praying, ask Jesus to begin to draw them
to himself. No man comes unless he draws them. Learn to pray that prayer. Lord, draw these people. When I come in the building, I start praying, Lord, draw every lost soul to you tonight. Draw them. Because when he says, come on, and they meant to go out the door, they don't even know why they're walking up the altar. It's because the Spirit's drawing them. And again, this is a dimensional thing. The Lord's going to start drawing people off the road. They're going to be driving by and walk in here. I know that's happened occasionally. It's going to happen a lot. He's going to start drawing the backsliders back in this dimension. Instruct and encourage the person to repent. Explain what it is. Explain that they're giving their life to Jesus, that they're turning away from their old life, and that he's going to give them a brand new life, that they get to start over, that he's going to clean out their heart and forget about every sin they've ever done. Explain it. And then they have to repent with their mouth. Just crying is not enough, even if they're sorrowfully crying. They need to talk with their mouth. So if they're not, encourage them to. I've had people, I had them repeat after me just to teach them how to pray. If they don't know how to pray, you're going to have an uncomfortable moment when you ask them to repent and they just stand there. So that's the time to teach them how to pray. Believe Jesus for the results. That's something that's important. Faith must be present. Ask the person when they begin to speak with tongues, ask them, do you hear yourself speaking in tongues? Shake your head, yes or no. Oh, well, that sounds like something you'd say to a kid. I do, but I say it to every person I pray with. Why? Because I want them to acknowledge. I want them to hear themselves. The devil's going to be very quick to try to nail them before they ever get out the door. That you made that up. That was too easy. You didn't do it right. You didn't say the right words. You just got emotional. It's not real. He's going to nail them with all that. But if you can get somebody while they're talking in tongues, smiling, to shake their head, yes, that's an acknowledgement. The spirit world hears it. Oh, yes. And you've got ammunition for when the enemy comes to you. Encourage the person to begin to thank Jesus for the Holy Ghost. There should be a time of thanksgiving when they're finished talking in tongues and, you know, they're just kind of calming down and maybe you had to get them a tissue. Then say, now let's just thank the Lord together. That's a good time to have the worshipers that are behind them. Look up at those worshipers. I do this a lot. And say, he has received the Holy Ghost. Now let's all just thank the Lord. Let's begin to worship and thank the Lord for what he's done. There ought to be a time of thanksgiving. Reaffirm what happened with that person before they leave. We do that here. We have cards. We need to have them accessible always, where everybody knows where they are that works the front lines. It should not be, oh, wait a minute, I got to go get a card. Somebody just got the Holy Ghost and we're running around looking for something. If you're a frontliner, come prepared. You know what? That's kind of an act of faith to have four or five cards in your pocket. That's sort of an act of faith just to carry them around in your Bible. You might have to fill one out at work. Start carrying a stack of them with you. So that when people receive the Holy Ghost, we have a record. Why? Because they're new babies and you don't leave babies to die. They have to be taken care of. And we have to call them and follow up and disciple them. And maybe you won't be the one to do that, but maybe God will lay it on your heart to do it. And in this new dimension, there are going to be more people discipling people and teaching Bible studies and praying with people out there and bringing them in already filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what happens in this new dimension. So you filled out the card and you introduced them to two or three other people. They're a new baby. You know, you want to show off a new baby. Look at my baby. You begin to introduce them. Just grab whoever. Don't just look for your best friend that's off somewhere. Whoever is around that's in the body. The worshipers that have come up. You know, begin to introduce them. Make them feel welcome. And don't let them leave without discussing baptism in Jesus' name. This is very essential. However, we don't want to be pushy. So if the answer is no, then it's okay. Well, you let us know when you're ready, because I know it's something you'll want to do. But you just let us know and leave it there. But make it available. Let them know the water's ready. Let them know. You know, people think you're going to put them in there just like they are. They don't know unless you say, we have a robe. You won't get your clothes wet. We have a robe you can wear. And it will take just a few minutes. You won't be here long. But it is in the scripture. Let me show you. Sit down on the front row. Show them scripture. If they're willing, if they look excited about it, they want it, then go a little further. Let the way they react be your guide. They put up the wall, then a big smile. Not, I'm disappointed and you can't believe you're not doing that. Probably won't even make heaven if you don't do that. No, a smile. A smile on your face. You know, you can disarm people with a smile. You know, they don't understand why you're smiling. So you just keep smiling. The world doesn't smile, so it's something we have the world doesn't have. Don't assume the person came to pray for the Holy Ghost. We talked about that. Danny came. He came weeks after weeks after weeks, went into months. Everybody in the whole church had prayed with little Danny. Danny was just a little tiny boy, but he came and cried, laid on the altar. They would turn the lights out, and his parents would have to peel him off the altar, weeping and sobbing. An 84-year-old man in the church finally came. Everybody was tired of praying with Danny. He sat on the step beside Danny. He said, Danny, sit up and look at me. Danny, you've been praying and praying and praying for months. Everybody in this church has prayed with you. What are you praying for?
Well, I just keep asking God for a horse. I never get one. I just keep praying every time that God will give me a horse.
True story. No one had bothered to ask Danny what he was praying for. Ask what they're praying for. Do not touch the seeker except for an anointed touch. We talked about this. Don't expect a new convert to talk in tongues like you do. They talk baby talk in tongues. When a baby starts talking and they say, I remember my first grandchild when Gabriella started talking and she started saying, I said, she said Mimo. Nobody heard it but me. It was like tongues and interpretation. But I did not say, little baby, you be quiet until you can say all the words. And that's what we're doing when we assume that somebody's not talking in tongues because it's not real fluent or they don't sound like you or I. I've been talking English all my life and I've been talking in tongues since I was 9. So my language is a full language because the longer you speak, the more you learn in any language. I know you know this, but just in case there's one Holy Ghost police. Never walk away from a person without talking with them. So you're working the altar. You know, you pray for this one, and then you go pray for that one. And you go pray for that one. You go pray for that one. If you want to work the altar like that, then when you're praying for someone and you see they're not ready, they're not going to receive it, the Holy Ghost lets you know that that's not why they came. You've already ministered to them, or there's somebody else there too. You lean down and say in their ear, you're doing great. I'm going to let you pray a little bit by yourself, and I'll be back. Don't leave them, because as you're walking away, they're thinking, I must not have been doing it right. They're not praying with me. Or if they are seeking for the Holy Ghost, I must not be going to receive it, because they just walked away. Always tell someone that knows you're there, you tell them before you leave them. Explain. Very often I will do that, especially with children, and I'll say, when I come back, I'm going to hear you talking in tongues. I'm releasing faith. That's a gift of faith in operation. And I go work that altar and come back, and the second round, every one of them's talking in tongues when I get back to them. Why? Because all they needed was a little boost of faith that I'm almost there. I am going to receive it. Tonight is my night. There's power in that spoken word. And don't let them seek too long. If the service is going on a long time, the altar service, because there's somebody here that's in travail for something. There's somebody over here that's praying for someone sick. You know, there are many different needs represented here. But with a new convert, somebody new, You judge as a frontliner when it's time to say, if you're tired, you can stop now. Would you like to stop praying now? And let's go down to the front row and talk. I've never had anybody say to me, no, I want to keep praying. They're just waiting for somebody to say, you know what, it's a gift. And you don't beg for a gift. You don't earn a gift. And it's for you. It's got your name on it. And it is going to happen. You are going to receive it. So don't be discouraged. But you let them seek too long. And again, their nose is snotty. Their arms are aching. Their legs are aching. Their eyes are puffy. Their voice is gone. And they say, Lord, if I get out of here alive, I'm never coming back there again. It should not be a bad experience to seek for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so be conscious of the needs of people and don't let them seek too long. Remember, whatever ground was covered was a great victory. Just the fact that they came to the front to pray. Be conscious of people that just cannot make themselves come to this altar, so help them make an altar in their seat. That's why we need intercessors. That's why we need worshipers back there. How many people have been back there wanting to pray and even praying, but no one around them even noticed? People are going to start getting the Holy Ghost in the seats in this dimension. They're going to get it during the offering. They're going to get it all over the place. But we must become sensitive to the needs that are present. This is about eternity. All kinds of things are going to start happening and have happened in this altar, but at an accelerated pace. A few weeks back, Sister Fiona, will you come to the keyboard? I gave the altar call and the church came. I had been introduced to a lovely lady from India who was a doctor. She was in a very abusive situation. She has a little girl, 10 years old. The little girl's heart began to fail. And when they ran the tests in India, she was only functioning 32%. It's affected her learning. It's affected every part of her life. They got funding to bring her to America. They had to hide out at the embassy from this husband who threatened to kill them or to even put a hit on his wife's life. She found her way to a little Pentecostal church. She was there a very short while when she realized there's one true God and Jesus is his name. She came to an altar and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The pastor had just baptized her in Jesus' name. When I gave the altar call, she came and walked the little 10-year-old girl up to the altar. All the other people that needed the Holy Ghost were lined up. There were 10 of them. In this new dimension, and I have gone in and out of this dimension many times in my ministry life, I have learned that it has almost zip to do with any human being. But if I will position myself in the faith realm, I am able, under the authority of the name of Jesus, to say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You can do that as well. If I could make you believe that tonight, it would be phenomenal what would start happening around here. The Holy Ghost began to fall. Before I even stepped off the platform, I saw this last weekend. There were 30 people talking in tongues before I got down the steps. Because there weren't altar workers in the upper room. It filled all the house where they were sitting. through the book of Acts, there were no altar workers. But we get flesh involved so much because we're not living in that dimension. We're not praying. We're not fasting. We're not committed. Still the same things that's always worked, still works. Good old-fashioned prayer meetings. Relationship where I know what he wants. Sometimes scary, trying to keep flesh out of the way. I'll give you that. That little girl was speaking in tongues, her little hands shaking. It was so beautiful. Her mom was just weeping and holding her. I witnessed all of these receiving the Holy Ghost. The church was operating in their altar working. There were worshipers. There were people down on their faces. Intercession was going on. It was just wonderful. And all of a sudden, I knew what Jesus wanted. Happened in an altar. I went to the little girl and I said, Jesus wants to heal your heart so you'll never have surgery. Do you believe Jesus can do that? She said, mm-hmm. I looked at her mother. I said, do you believe Jesus can heal her right now? She's on the transplant list, Sister Oliver. They haven't given her very long to live without a new heart. I said, I understand that, but I'm not talking about a transplant heart. I'm talking about Jesus working a miracle. You know what? There was no yelling. There was no screaming. There was no in the name of Jesus going on. But I did take that microphone and declare what the Lord spoke that he wanted to do. This is where the Lord is taking this church. I asked her if I could put my hand right here. She said yes. I laid my hand on that little girl. And I said in this small voice that I'm talking in right now, in the name of Jesus, heart, obey your maker. You were designed to do certain things in the body. You've stopped doing those things. Obey your maker in the name of Jesus. I said, now let's all lift our hands and thank the Lord for what he has just done. The church began to weep and rejoice and thank the Lord. You could feel the atmosphere change. What was it? The faith realm, where it doesn't matter what the logical mind. I mean, of course, I'm human and my logical mind was screaming at me. My logical mind was saying, you just declared to this child that she's going to get her miracle. But there was something bigger going on than just my mere mind. When God gets ready to do it, there's no doubt. We all went home. It was over. I got the victory report. Monday. She spent the week in the hospital. Wouldn't think somebody well would have to do that. Running batteries of tests. The email said they're in the process of taking her off the transplant list. Her heart is fully functioning. There is nothing wrong. They can't explain it. It happened in an altar. It happened during altar working. Would you stand to your feet? There is such a great anointing. I'm asking you, every single man, woman, child, come in as close as we can get and find a place to pray before you leave. Just make a commitment. I'm just asking you, say, Lord, I'm willing. Show me what you want me to do. Just show me, Lord, and I'll do it. I'll worship. I'll intercede. Lord, I'll be on the front lines. Just train me. But I want to be a part of this end time harvest. In the name of Jesus.
me there.